Praise God. Well, why don't you turn over to Romans 8:14? We've been on a series for some time talking about how to be led by the Spirit of God. How to be led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 8:14. Verse 14, everybody there? Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together." Hallelujah. There's a lot there. We've read this many times, but man, you can read it over and over and just things pop out at you. Notice that in verse 15 it says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage." Did we just talk about it? Did we just pray chains coming off, bondages falling? We have not received the spirit of fear again, or a spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear brings bondage. Bondage. Fear is not of God. Fear will bind you. It will hold you tight. It will keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish in life. We're not given a spirit of fear, though. It says, "But you receive the spirit of adoption." Hallelujah. We're adopted into the kingdom of Almighty God. Because of what Jesus did, He paved the way, He paid the price, and we're just hooking right into that contract, right into that agreement. We're not adding to it. It's already been signed, already been ratified. We're saying, "Yep, I'll take that," and our name gets added if we'll accept Jesus, and we're part of that contract that Jesus has already worked out. And all the things that this word says that we can have, we can have. He said, we receive the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Children of God. We are children of the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Children of Almighty God. Daughters, sons of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Do you think the Lord God, as a father, wants us to be led by Him? Do you think He wants us in the right place? Wouldn't it be silly for Him to have a plan for us, to have a purpose, and say, "Man, I have some good things for these guys. I hope they figure it out. I'm going to watch and see if they do. Ooh, look at, they're almost there. Oh, no, fell down. Oh, well. Let's see if this one's going to do any better. Woo, doing pretty good. Oh, took himself out. Well, hope somebody sooner or later figures out what I want them to do." Wouldn't that be silly? Do you think God does that? To talk to some Christians, you would think He does that. "God, where are you? I want to do whatever you want me to do. You just won't tell me." Really? You really think God has somebody that's ready to do everything that He's told him to do, and He just won't tell him? No, I think there's something else going on usually. Either ignorance somehow, the heart's right, or there's something God told him to do, and they said, "No, next, please." And God's not going to change. He's going to go, "Until you do what I told you to do, I'm not giving you the next step." So some people are in that position. But His best for us is for us to follow Him, for Him to tell us what He wants us to do, and we just walk it out step by step by step. And we've been talking about that. Let's review a couple scriptures. Just look on our sheets there. Colossians 3:15. These last few weeks we've been talking about following peace, and we're going to continue on that. Following peace. Because peace is how you know where God is leading you. I'm talking about peace on the inside. I'm not talking about peace on the outside. I'm not saying that all the circumstances are peaceful. I'm not saying that there are no waves. What I am saying is that the Lord God on the inside has given you peace, saying, this is the way, trust me, even in the midst of anything going on the outside. I'm not saying you won't feel some things going through the plan of God and walking where you need to walk. That's not peace on the outside. Some people are looking for a smooth road on the outside and saying, that must be God if it's smooth on the outside. No, contrary. Jesus didn't walk a road that was completely without trouble, did he? People are trying to kill him left and right, but did he do the will of God? Absolutely. Did Paul just walk a worry-free life? Nobody ever harassed him. He never had any hardship whatsoever because he was in the perfect plan of God. Right? No. Far from it. He came up against trial. But he followed the plan of God. So looking on the outside is not the determining factor. We're not looking for peace on the outside. If you're looking for nothing going on the outside, you're not going to follow the plan of God. You're probably going to coop yourself up somewhere and say, I don't want any problems. God never promised us no problems. The challenges of life come to us all. What we need to know is that the greater one's on the inside of us, that he'll bring us over, that he'll bring us through. And so we need to look on the inside to determine, am I on the right road? There you can follow peace on the inside. God will give you peace in the midst of the storm. Everything can be breaking loose, but you're saying, nope, I'm on the right way. I'm on the right road. I'm going to keep going. This is where I'm supposed to go. That's what we're talking about. Look at Colossians 3:15 to review. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it be the umpire by which you determine which way to go. Let the peace of God rule. And he said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice that. He said not to be anxious for anything, but in everything we do, by prayer and supplication. Go to God, say, God, what should I do in this situation? Don't start fretting about it, what to do. That's not going to do anybody any good. But to go to him and say, what do I need to do? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice that. The what will guard your hearts and minds? The peace of God. The peace of God. How will you know that you're on the right track? The peace of God. If you get out of peace, stop and go back to the last time you had peace. If you start getting confused, you don't know which way to go, you're saying, God, I thought I was in the right way, but now it just seems so jumbled. That's an indication many of times that something, you were on the right track, but something, you overrode something, you pushed down something, you pressed ahead too soon on something, you presumed something. Because now you're feeling like this is confusing. Look at what you're yielding to. Look at what you're letting come through your head and your mind, and look back and say, wait a minute, So maybe you believed you were on the right track and you had peace. But now you've been entertaining thoughts about things that, well, is this really that? Should I do this? Should I not? I mean, you start looking at circumstances. You start asking questions. You start looking at different details. What about this? Pretty soon, you're confused. You're uptight. You're not in peace. Ask yourself, when was the last time I had peace? Go back to that point. Maybe you started asking questions that don't need to be asked. God told you to do something, you were on the right track, and now you started overthinking, you started thinking about it, started overanalyzing all these details and say, well, what about this? What if this happens? What if this happens? And now you're feeling confused because the devil has come in and started playing that game. If you accommodate him and start listening to, well, why should I do that? I don't know about that. He'll accommodate you. He'll say, yeah, what about that? And how about this? Did you consider this? How about this over here? Well, should you consider this and this and this? And pretty soon you find yourself what looks so simple. You believed you heard from God. You had peace. You were going forward. Now you're in this turmoil and saying, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, look back. When did you have peace? Did you entertain things that you didn't need to be entertaining? Did you ask questions that you shouldn't ask? If God's already told you to do one thing and said go over here, there's no use in saying or asking, well, I wonder what it's like over there. If you're not going over there, why are you asking about it? Because you start asking about what it's like over there, pretty soon you might find yourself considering maybe I should go over there. But God said, go over here. Is it really this simple sometimes? Yes, it's this simple sometimes. We just start saying, what about this? What about this? And the devil doesn't stop there. Well, what about this? What about this? And all God said is, do this. But we start thinking about, now we're not in peace. But what does it say here? The peace of God will guard your hearts. If you're not in peace, no reason to look any further. Something's wrong here with you somehow. Either you're not looking at him. You've taken your eyes off what he told you. You're starting to consider something else. There's no use starting to look at other people, blame other people. Just say, God, I'm not peaceful anymore. Show me what the answer is. I know I'm not supposed to be anxious. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling confused. Lord, help me. And he will. But how are you going to know that you're not going where you need to go? Peace. Just a simple peace on the inside. We talked about this. If you didn't listen to the last couple, I mean, the series has been going on for a while in general, but especially to get where we are now, we can't go back and talk about the things we've talked about in the last two services. Well, how do I know? You said, how do I know what's peace? Now, go back and listen to the messages. It's generally, you think of one way, you're going to feel, yeah, I should go that way. It seems good. And we're going to talk about seems good here in a minute. But then you think of going another way and it's just scratchy or kind of a sick feeling. Nah, not out here on the inside. Yeah, it looks good, but listen to that. Might look like over here, you look at everything and it's like, I don't want to go there. Look at all this stuff. But inside, it's like this warm glow. It's like, that's where I want to go, right there. Yep. That seems good, but you're looking on the outside and your feelings going, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. But in the inside, there's something bearing witness with your spirit that's the way to go. That's how we know. That's called peace. God will bear witness with you. Look at Romans 14:17 on your sheet. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you're going and doing what God would have you to do, carrying out His orders in the kingdom of God, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we're experiencing anything but that, then it's an indication that we're not focusing on what God has already done for us and we're not necessarily looking at His plan for us. Now, I just say we're going to walk it out perfectly all the time. No. But there's not any reason to say, I just can't. We ought to look and say, I'm supposed to be in peace and joy. You've heard me say this before. My friend Tom Bird up in Exeter, he puts it at the bottom of his emails. He says, joy is the hallmark of true Christianity. Joy is the hallmark of true Christianity. If we're really following Jesus, if we're really going on the right track, we should have joy and peace doing it. Did I say everything is going to be rosy on the outside? No, but there's a force on the inside that we're happy about it. We're at peace. We can be, all hell's breaking loose around us. People go, oh my gosh, you must be just upset. If we're following him, we ought to be able to look at him and be at peace. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. How do you know that? Because I'm doing what he told me to do. How do you know? Because I have peace about it. It lines up with the word of God. I have peace. And therefore, I believe I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful in the midst of it. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. Yes, that's how we ought to live. It's not supposed to be something that's so far off that nobody could ever really get there. See, if we think that way, we'll always make an excuse why we can't be happy today. Did you hear me? There's always a reason. Do you realize there's always a reason we could complain or be in a bad mood every day? Now, some people would look at some other people and say, what do you have to complain about? But it's all relative. Somebody could look at them and their complaints. I have something to complain about. Somebody could look at you and say, what do you have to complain about? Good night, look what I'm going through. I have a reason to complain. Now, right on her, somebody could look at them and go, you're nuts. Why are you even thinking about complaining? Do you realize what I've gone through for the last 18 years? Or we could just flip it around and be thankful for what we do have, what Jesus has done, what he is doing because of what the word says, and we can have joy and peace right in the middle of what seemingly looks like hell on earth. Do you believe that? If we believe it now, then we can change it right now. Even before we leave this service, we can say, I'm going to be in joy today. I'm going to be at peace. I can have it now, starting now. It stops now. I'm not going to be complaining. I'm not going to be down now. God said it. I'm going to be at peace, and I'm going to be in joy. Your mind will come back. You're crazy. You're not going to do that. You know what's waiting for you at home, and you can say, shut up, mind. Shut up, enemy. I am, because Jesus said I could. I have the joy of the Spirit on the inside of me. I have the greater one on the inside of me. I'm going to do what he told me to do, and so therefore I can be at peace. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Hallelujah. Romans 15:13. Notice this. It says, now may the God of hope. Stop right there. God of hope. What's hope? It's just going to keep, I have something, it's just going to keep getting better and better. I can see out front, and it's good. Right there. If we are serving the God of hope, do you realize God's never saying, oh no, it's over. Cut them off. Forget it. Pack it up, boys. We're done. The Almighty would never say that. Never. He's the God of hope. It may look like everybody else is packing in. He said, we got this thing. Watch. Watch what I'm going to do now. Does he ever run into a place that's impossible for him? Are we his children? Did we not just read that we're his children? Then what is the impossible situation for us? It doesn't exist. I said it doesn't exist. There is no impossible situation for a child of God. None. You may say, well, I can think of what. Think of God. If God's in us and we really believe that and we're really his children, then there are no impossible situations. Therefore, we have no right and no reason to just start to sit down and say, forget it, I can't go. I've lost all help. Can't go any further. Forget it. Nope. Can't do that. You ever guys ever see Anne of Green Gables or read the book? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Very few. I'm only speaking to like a few people. There's a line in there where Anne, real dramatic, and she would say, I'm in the depths of despair. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And, what's the mom's name now? It starts with an M. What's the stepmother, the beginning? Don't know. A lady that she went to stay with that they were, now I'm trying to think of what it was. Anyway, she's talking to her and she goes, do you ever get, she's asking the stepmom or whatever, said, do you ever get in the depths of despair? She said, no, to despair is to turn your back on God. And I saw that, I was like, wow, that's pretty good. And that's just in a novel, right? But that is exactly right. If you despair, you're saying there is no hope. But we just read, he's the God of hope. So for you to say there is no hope, you are saying, God, you can't do anything about it. I'm here alone. But if we'll look to him, there's always hope with him. There is always hope with the Almighty. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. Now may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing. If you're going to follow God and do what he tells you to do, we're talking about being led by him. Being led by him and following his plan is going to take believing. It's going to take faith. So for us to believe him and follow him, it says here, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. While you're believing, while you're following him, while you're believing for something to come to pass, you be filled with joy and peace, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may abound in hope. That you're expecting good things. That you're expecting things to turn around. That you're expecting what God told you to come to pass would come to pass. That if he told you to go this way, and he told you, gave you a glimpse of where you're going, that as you go that way, you expect it to turn out the way he told you, regardless of what you're seeing out here, and that you can have joy and peace in believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That's good right there. This is worth coming this morning just for that. Luke 1, let's turn over to Luke 1. Now, I want to get into something. We're talking about following peace. I want to go over a few things in the Word where you see this. We talk about what is that, that it seems like when we're following him, what does it look like? It's not like a lot of people think when they talk about following God. God told me to do something. A lot of times, it's emotion or it's something. They're looking for something really big. An angel appeared to me. Did angels appear in the Bible? Yes, they did. They appeared to people. Did it happen all the time? No, it didn't. It happened a few times. Some of these miraculous things where an angel appeared or God spoke to somebody in a supernatural way, spectacular way, they didn't happen all the time. Even in Acts, I mean, there's a few times where things like that happen, but Acts covers a period of years, a long time. It didn't happen all the time. So when we're talking about being led by God, people go, well, God doesn't talk to me. No, God talks to us all. We read that in Romans that as we're children of God, he's leading us. But sometimes we're looking for this spectacular thing and we're missing the supernatural. Did you hear me? You say they're the same thing. No, they're not. People are looking for spectacular. Ooh, an angel appeared to me and he told me, thus saith the Lord, you'll move to such and such a country and be a missionary and blah, 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 and it'll be great. That's what people are looking for. And they miss supernatural things happening and God speaking to each of us is supernatural. Just bearing witness with your heart to do something is supernatural. And we can miss that, go, yeah, 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 but I want to see this. And so many people are waiting for this type of thing, this big supernatural or spectacular thing, And so they think God's not speaking to them. And they're waiting for something like that, and they won't move. And they miss out on the plan of God for their lives. And then I've heard people that think, well, God told me to do this and this, and they fall flat on their face because it wasn't God. I mean, it was something they thought was spectacular. They didn't follow some of the things we're talking about today. You know, somebody gave them some word that didn't really line up with anything that they had on their heart, but they thought, that looks spectacular. This guy said something that nobody else could know that, and so that must be God, even though the things he's saying I've never considered, never done. It's not bearing witness with anything on the inside of me, but that must be God. And so I throw everything away, and I go and do that, and it doesn't work. And I wonder, what happened? Now, we've talked about these things, and we're talking about today. We need to look at what the Word says and let things bear witness with our hearts. And so many times, it's so much more, it's simpler, more simple than what this spectacular, this Christian, does anybody know what I'm talking about? This Christian easy thing that people are looking for, this what I call woo-woo stuff that God's going to show me. And that means it's God if it's spectacular. And so many times people miss the voice of the Lord in their lives because they've just overshot and they're looking for something. And if anything looks remotely spectacular, they take it as God, even though God is not in it at all. This happened to me, and all it is coincidence. But it looks and it makes a good story. I'm not saying people are malicious about it. I'm saying there's this tendency to try to get something that sounds like God. You'll never believe what happened. I was walking down the supermarket, and I taught this person that I haven't seen for 15 years walked across my path, and they said this and this, and it's exactly what I needed. That I mean, they're getting rid of a refrigerator, and I need a refrigerator. Never mind, the thing is about to break, and that's the reason they're getting rid of it, and it's like got a month left, and now all you're going to get is a refrigerator because all they want is a place to put it, and now you have to get rid of a refrigerator in a month. But it's God, because, I mean, after all, what are the chances that I'd run into somebody that I haven't seen and they're giving it away? It must be God. Anybody ever heard anything like this? If it's you, just look straight ahead. Look at me. Nobody will know it's you. Just say, yeah, I've heard of people like that, because we've all done it. But no, it sounds good. Then they go to, hey, guess what the Lord did for me? Now, I'm not dismissing the God, saying God doesn't do things. Yes, He does. But what I'm saying is you can't judge it by the circumstance. So many people will say, well, it happened like this, therefore it must be God. Now, look at Luke and see if this meets the criteria that most people would think something must meet in order to be God. Look at verse 1. Now Luke wrote the book of Luke. Right? Luke, this man who was a physician, wrote the book that we know as the book of Luke here. How many 2,000 years later? He wrote it. That's a big thing. Would you say that's a big thing? How many bigger things are there than writing a book that becomes part of the canon of Scripture? Now, if you would hear some people talk, for somebody to sit down and write something that's going to be this big a deal, you would think angel for sure, something, registered letter from God, something had to happen so that they know that this is God. Right? This is a big deal. This isn't, you know, getting some blessing in little life. This is writing a book that ends up as part of the Bible. And look at how it happened. Luke 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. What did he say, verse 3? He said, inasmuch as several people have written accounts about this and put it down in paper, it seemed good to me to write you an account so that you would know us to, you would know for sure to this man that he knows, evidently a man of stature, Theophilus, says here, I thought it seemed good to me to write to you also. And so he goes and puts this as an account. And here we have the book of Luke. Does that seem spectacular to you? Seemed good. Seemed good to me to do this. No angel, no booming voice of God. Seemed good. And you'll see this, we're going to read it several times. You see this in Scripture. And this is a good way of describing when you're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, the peace, it just seems good. You think of this way, you're like, yes, it just seems good to do it that way. You think over here, it's like, don't want to do that. Seems scratchy, seems like, sick, no. Doesn't seem, I don't want to do that. You ever heard people say, I knew I should have done this? People are led by God more than they know. They just don't know it's God. They're looking for an angel, and God's telling them. Everybody in this room has probably felt like, I should do that, but your head, you're like thinking, nah, you talk yourself out of it. You go down the road, you realize, I should have done that. I knew I should have done that. I knew that. Why is that? God's talking to everybody, and it is so simple to know His voice. You look inside, and if it seems like, yeah, that's the way to go. And I'm talking about on the inside. We've talked about that. So I'm not saying it makes sense to your mind. I'm not saying your flesh just jumps up and down. I'm saying on the inside, it's a warm glow. You say, yeah, that seems what I ought to do. That just seems good to me. Yes, I can't explain it, but that seems good. And you let it sit, and it still seems good to you. If it's a big decision, it still seems good to you. You talk to your spouse about it. Seems good to them too. And God's not going to change. So over time, you feel like you check and it's, yeah, that's the way to go. This is how God leads us so many times. I have a couple other, I'll look on your sheet there, a couple other translations of this. Luke 1:3 in the Amplified says, it seemed good and desirable to me. In the God's Word translation, it says, it seems fitting for me. Seemed fitting. This really puts a wrapper around what we're talking about. Spiritual things are sometimes hard to put into words. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced this in my life where you look at something and it seems good. And you're looking at it and there's a glow about it. That's another way of putting it. It's like there's this glow about doing it, and you're inside, your inner man's doing cartwheels. It's jumping up and down. Right? Yeah, that's it. Why? Because your inner man is alive to God and knows God is saying, there's something here. It's resonating on the inside of you saying, this is what it is. Your head doesn't know. Your head doesn't know what's coming down the road, but God knows, and God's resonating with your heart, and it's, this is right. This is the plan of God. This is where we're supposed to go. It's so precious. And the more we follow it and realize that's what He's doing, He's telling us, you'll see things come to pass, and you'll look back and say, there's no way I could have known that. Did Luke know? We don't have any indication that Luke knew. There was no Bible as we have it today. There was some of the Old Testament books together, but there was no 66 books like we have today at this point. He's writing Scripture. He didn't set out and go, the Lord told me, Theophilus, that I'm to undertake this thing. I'm going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. What I'm about to write to you will be read by generations. It will go around the world. It will be read by more people than any book in history. And this is part of it. Get ready. He didn't say that. He said, it seemed good to write this to you. Yeah, no other people have written about it. I just wanted you to be sure that what you heard about it is right, and I'm going to write it. Hallelujah. What does this mean? This means we can be led in great things. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to have fireworks going off in the sky. You don't have to have big things like that going off. Just seemed good. Just seemed good. Hallelujah. When we were, I've referred to this several times these last few weeks, but when we were making the decision to move out here, I told you we got a point where we had sat on it. You know, we had come to talked about certain things and about actually moving specifically to Andover and just sat on it, and it was several months. And we just said, we know enough to sit on it and see. If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. And so we had sat on it. And so in January, we're getting to the point where it's still there. It's strong as ever. It's getting stronger. And we hadn't told anybody. And so we said, we're going to spy out the land. We didn't even say that, but that's what we were doing. We said, we're going to go out there. We had two children. We had Andrew and Brianna at that point. We're in Oklahoma. It's in January. We're saying, let's get flights. Let's fly out there. And let's walk around and see how we feel on the inside about it and get a feel. Either we're nuts or this is God. This is going to help to show that up. And so that's exactly what we did. Got a flight out here. It was like January. I wrote, in my journal, January mid 26th, 27th, 25th, like 28th, something right around there. Took off school. Told my instructor or the dean, I just said, hey, we're going to check out some things concerning, potentially, I hadn't told him about it or anything, just potentially where we're going to be doing. Is that okay? He gave me leave to go ahead and miss class. And so we fly out here and, rent a car, come up 93. I've never been to this area, never been here. I've never been to Boston. I don't know Andover from Tewksbury, from Lawrence. I don't know anything. All I know is from different, and I've told those other parts, I'm not going to go into that today, from different things, we got this and felt specifically north of Boston, specifically Andover. So we're in a rental car, driving up 93. See Andover on exit 41. Figure there's restaurants and stuff right there, get off. Well, that goes off to 125, and we're just like, where is everything? And just, we drove around for, 2 hours. Because you think it'd be easy, but every exit you get off doesn't get you right to something. You got to actually drive a little while before you hit the town center. And there's no signs, around there for off the interstate. Once you get up by Chili's and stuff, there's stuff, but there's nothing. And we're thinking there'll be, the exits that go to Andover, there's nothing. So we're just driving around. And our kids have just got off a flight, and they're hungry, and they're like, good night, we're trying to find. Finally, we find downtown, and it is cold that time. There's snow, a lot of snow, and it was actually a cold winter. It's 2006. We're walking. We park on one part of downtown and walk all the way down to where Bertucci's is. Bertucci's in downtown Andover. I can remember right where we were sitting. That's where we sat and ate our first meal in this area. And we eat, and then we had reserved a hotel in the Comfort Suites, Inn and Suites or something up there. And so we just got a hotel room. And so what we spent time is driving around, looking at different areas and just getting a sense. So what were you doing? Getting a sense of what does it feel on the inside of us when we're going around. We looked at neighborhoods. We looked at, and we were like, well, maybe it doesn't have to be Andover. There's a North Andover. We drove around. We went through Tewksbury. We went through... we were in Lawrence some, and we went to North Andover, and we went up and ate at the Loop. Found our way around a little bit after a while. Ate up there, and we're in our hotel room. We looked for a place for the kids to play. It's January. Get out some energy. And there was formerly a gymboree in Andover, and we went to see if we could find that, and it was in this building. And we went down, and it was in this space, right here. Here. This used to be an open room. Those walls weren't there. Those two walls weren't there. This was 2,000 square foot of Gymboree right here. And we did not know that, and it had closed. But we were in that building. And so we walked in it, and or in this building, and we left. And so then we're at, you know, just going and eating and at the hotel and such. And I wrote down in my journal, we said, with everything we know, because I looked at Shelly and it said it still seemed good. And it wasn't like North Andover. One took it was like Andover. Why Andover? I don't know, but it seems good that it's Andover. And I wrote, we said, there's no fireworks. There is no writing in the sky. There is no, nobody appeared to us. There's nothing spectacular. But with everything we know and believe, it seems good that we're still supposed to come here. In other words, we came here. It didn't feel like, oh, you're nuts, go home. It just was stronger. And I wrote that in my journal. And we went home, and we started telling people about it. And then we got enough back, like, whoa, we got family out there? Whoa, what's the demographics? Whoa, why are you out there? What? But what we would come back to is it seemed good. We waited. We just looked and checked on the inside, and it just got stronger. And stronger. Till when I came out here, then I came out here by myself in May after we sold our house in like 3 weeks. This is in 2006. It was starting to slow down. We sold our house without a realtor, ourselves, and it was like 2 to 3 weeks that we had an offer. It was a good offer, the minimum what we wanted to get out of it. And so then we had to get a rental house. We were going to rent out here for a while. And so we talked to a realtor and came out here. Didn't know anybody, and I'm sure this lady thought I was nuts. Why are you moving out here? We're going to start a church. I'm driving around with her. I think you guys, this was 2006. There had been major flooding that year earlier. And so she was telling me about that. It had just gotten floods and everything. But 2006, I'm driving around with her and looking around, and my inside is just doing flip-flops. I'm like, I want to get out here. I'm ready to get out here. Why? I don't know anybody. I don't know any of you. I don't know a single person in this area. But on the inside, as I'm driving around, my spirit's just doing cartwheels. It's like, I want to get out here. I'm ready to come out here. This is where we're supposed to be. Why? I don't know, but God told us that this is where we're going to go. This is where we're going to start a church. And on the inside, it seemed good. And it just was stronger. I was excited to get back, to get our stuff, to get out here so we could start doing what God told us to do. Now, did that mean it was just all a bed of roses? No. Hadn't been a bed of roses. Did people just show up and flock the first service? No. You guys have heard that. Long time I preached to one person. Try doing that when that one person starts nodding off. What do you do? Where do you look when the one person that you're preaching to starts nodding off and you're recording it? You're just going to stop because the recording's going. So I learned some things that first year. But God has been faithful. Faithful. There weren't times that it seemed like, well, boy, yeah, everybody just showed up. No, it wasn't like that. But we had to go back and say, but what about it? It seemed good. It seemed good. And we would stop. I won't lie to you. There are times when we never got to the place where we thought about shutting the doors. Honestly, we never have. Did we think about it? Yes, we thought about it. On the way home from service when somebody, Phil, there's nobody there. Did you have thoughts? Yes, we had thoughts. Yes, we thought, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Why do we go back week after week and there's nobody? I mean, there's, thank God, there were, you know, a lady and her child for most time, and then there's people that would come in and out. But I'm telling you, the enemy will push on you. Tell you, you missed it. But we would come back to it. Even then, we'd go, you know, we would get riled up at different times. I'm just going to be honest with you. Where it's like, what, you know, you'd be tempted to get discouraged. After you get some of that out, you'd go, but what else would we do? I mean, I'm working a full-time job. I'm a software engineer. It's not like I didn't have options, but it was like, in God's will, where else would I go? What else would I do? We do this. Where would you go to church if you were here? I asked myself this so many times. Where would you go to church if you were here in this area? There's not one right here. So what would you do if you were going to stay here? Well, I'd have to find another church and drive, or we'd just be having our church here. So my kids, so you would just be doing what you're doing. Yep. Can you keep doing that? Even if there isn't people show up, can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. I'm not saying I heard an audible voice. This is just back and forth. Just get God speaking to you, heart to heart. Can you keep doing what you're doing? Yeah. Is that okay with you? Yeah, I'm okay with doing that if that's what you want. It just doesn't look like it's going anywhere. I didn't ask you that. Can you keep doing what you're doing? Yes, I can do that. I don't have any problem doing that. So that's what we did. But it just would keep going back to, well, what seems good? Did it seem good to me to say, forget it? No, God didn't change. God didn't change just because something out here. Did it look out here like, oh, my head's just going, yeah, this is where you're supposed to be. And my flesh is going, love it. Love it when you're looking out there and there's not anybody. That just blesses me. No. I'm just being totally honest with you. No. My flesh was not happy. My mind was going, you're nuts, man. You're nuts. But my heart was saying, you're right doing what you're supposed to be doing right now. And you keep doing it. Hallelujah. God leads us this way. You just keep doing, going. He knows. That's why you can't go by what you see out here. You have to say, God, am I where I'm supposed to be? And you follow peace. If he says it's fine, your head's going, but it doesn't look fine. He says, can you, but you're fine. That is going to guard your heart. That seems good is going to keep you there. Just know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to stay on track. Now let's wrap this thing up. You guys listen just for a couple more minutes. We'll just wrap this up. Hallelujah. Look on your sheet. Acts, for the sake of time, Acts 15:24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words. Now, this is the whole thing. People were saying the Gentiles, they got born again. Now you have to do all these things that the law considered. They're trying to get them to do the things that the Jewish people are saying. No, you need to do this and this and this. And so there's this big conference. And James was overseeing it. And they were talking together. And this is the result of it. It says, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, this is what they're writing to these people and saying, this is, we've talked about your situation, this is the outcome. We have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. In other words, we didn't tell them to do that, but that's what they're doing. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Notice that phrase. I can't tell you how many times as you walk with God, you'll come to where it seemed good to the Lord and it seemed good to us. It bears witness, like Romans said, it bears witness. God is bearing witness, saying you're on the right track. This is like the homing beacon. Beep, beep, beep. Are you right on the right track? Yes, peace, seemed good. Bearing witness, that's what we're talking about, that God will keep you on track. You start veering off. No. Seemed good. It seemed good. Yeah, now it seems good. And I'm on the right track. It said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you do well. Now notice this. So number one, the group came together and said, this seems good to us. Here's what we say. Why? Because an angel appeared to us? Because God boomed his voice? No, it seemed good to us. This is what we ought to do. So they say that. Now notice this next part. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. So they, Judas and Silas, came to deliver this letter and were there with them. And after they had stayed there some time, they went back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So they sent a contingent, they sent some people, Judas and Silas were among them, and they delivered this letter, encouraged the people, and everybody went back, except, look at the next verse, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Silas looks and says, I don't think I ought to go back. I think I ought to stay here. Why? Doesn't say why. But he just says, it seems good that I ought to stay here. Now notice, verse 35, Paul and Barnabas also remain at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So what happened? Has anybody heard of Paul and Silas? And getting, you know, they were beaten and everything. Paul ended up picking Silas to travel. Did Silas know that Paul and Barnabas were going to get in a big argument? No. Did the Holy Spirit know? What if they said, but why, Silas? Why? Tell me, give me a logical reason why you're here. I don't know. It seems good. But was he at the right place at the right time? Yes, he was. We just need to know, I'm supposed to be here. And your mind may say, the enemy will say, why are you here? Why are you still doing this? God knows what's coming down the road. He knows who he's going to hook you up with. Don't ever despise who he hooks you up with. Don't say, well, I can serve God anywhere. Not true. Not true. He has a place for each and every one of us. And if God puts you in a place, you stay there until he tells you to go. So much of the body of Christ does not get this, does not understand this. This is why there's so many Christians that are shipwrecked. They think, I'll just go here, I'll go there, as if they're in control. It's not true. Silas said, it seemed good. I'm not going to go back with you, even though that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be here. He stayed there. Something happened. He was right where he needed to be so Paul could say, let's go. And they continued to preach. Hallelujah. God will lead us. His mind could not have known that. His flesh maybe wanted to go home. But he followed his heart and he was right where he needed to be. And that's exactly the way it will be with us if we follow our hearts. Seem good. Seem like I'm supposed to be here. Not time to go yet. Not time to switch jobs yet. Yeah, but I don't like it in my job. Did God tell you to leave your job? Did God say that's it? Because if you jump out because of some circumstance, that's not being led by him. No, I'm supposed to be here. I don't like it, but I'm going to be here. Hallelujah. If we'll follow him, we'll be in the right place. Just follow peace. Just follow what he told us to do. We'll be right where we need to be. Hallelujah. Amen.